right club. Be the right club today.
Yeah. Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most.
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the all new super hyped designated signature elevated Bay Hill happy hour show presented by our friends at High Noon. Solly here. DJ Pi is here. Hello, Pi man.
Greetings, guys. Great to be with you for another spin around Bay Hill. I can't wait to talk about it. Randy, great to see you, dude. How are you?
Cheers to you, boys. Great to be here.
That is the voice of Mr. Big Randy as well. Cody is running the ones and twos. As mentioned, we are introducing the all-new High Noon Snowbird Pack featuring the perfect mix of winter and summer flavors. The 8-pack has two new flavors, raspberry and plum. Guys, the plum, very hyped, very justified. The raspberry, immediately into my top three. It's like was so thrilled. I found a raspberry in the bottom.
Global
of my
entry pre-check. Yeah.
Certified. It is really. Have you guys had it?
No, I haven't yet. I need to,
buddy. I'm having it right now.
What do you think?
What do you
Dick?
Think?
It's good. It's good.
I thought you were a plum man, little Jack Horner.
I don't want to talk badly because it's not bad, but it just wouldn't crack my top three at the moment.
Okay. Well, listen, maybe I got a little carried away here, but also has the peach and lemon flavored, made with real vodka and real juice. It is a winter exclusive, this Snowbird Pack, so get it before the ice melts. Track down the pack nearest you at highnoonspirits.com. Also, of course, want to give a shout out to our friends at Roback. We are hoodied out, as we almost always are. You know Roback, best fit, best feel. They got restocks of our favorite polos, hoodies, and Q-zips. There is not better gear to be wearing when you're playing golf or just out and about. Fit, feel, quality, all of it's perfect. Just wildly comfortable. The performance hoodies, the fabric is so soft. I wear them all the time, mornings, daytime, afternoon, evenings, on the course, or just in everyday life. And the performance Q-zips are fantastic. Great classic look with soft performance fabric that makes them incredibly comfortable. Definition of versatile. They will have you feeling good and looking good. If you haven't already, load up on some Roback for both yourself or for others. Code NLU at Roback.com for generous 20% off your first order through the end of this week. That's Roback.com. 20% off bottoms, Q-zips, hoodies, and more with code NLU. Get ready for the golf season with Roback.
3 for 3 on the hoodies today. I love it. I got my officially licensed designated event, signature event, Roback hoodie on from the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. You know, these guys have everything.
Guys, I can't be the only one that's just feeling the energy right now. This signature event just feels different than every other week on tour. That's the big takeaway I have heading as we on the eve of the start of the Bay Hill Invitational. I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
You know what? I'm not going there.
Letting them drag me down to that level, dude.
That's exactly no where way. I'm at. And I would never tell anybody else how to feel. If you feel that way, you're so like absolutely justified in that feeling. The last 2-ish years of professional golf have been a disaster. If you want to check out, I completely understand that. Weirdly, Solly, I have a tinge of enthusiasm for this week. Mm. And I think some of that comes from Bay Hill either accidentally or on purpose kind of developing. I was thinking about it a little bit more today, kind of developing a little bit more of like an identity. And it has kind of separated itself a little bit from the Mr. Palmer Fest, though, of course, that will still exist. But I think what I think about when I think about Bay Hill over the last couple of years is just like a true carnage festival. They lose the greens. They grow up the rough like crazy. Guys like low-key won't say it, but like kind of hate it, how like hard it gets. And of course, Randy, to me, that's I'm like, what have we been asking for? And so I'm not going to pour any water on this one. I'm actually excited to watch at least Sunday afternoon. Am I going to be locked in all day Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Probably not. Am I going to watch
You saved it at the end there. You flipped it at the bottom there a little bit there. Randy, where do you stand on that?
I'm a lot more excited than I was 2 minutes ago. I'll tell you that. I think my guy absolutely nailed it. Going back to Tyrrell Hatton's win in 2020 where he was 4 under par, low scores, or I should say high scores. That always messes me up. You know, low iron, high iron. That But difficult scoring conditions, which Deej, you're exactly right. If I call for him as much as I call for him, it would be disingenuous to not praise progress and to offer a heartfelt congratulations and thank you where it's deserved. And that's kind of what Bay Hill is now. And so I'm right there with you. I thought that was beautifully put. I just wish Bay Hill as a golf course just had like something interesting about it. That's just where I can't get all the way there. It just is like, there's no juice with the course.
That's where I kind of find, like, would I rather it play really difficult firm than soft? Like, of course, like I can't, you know, flip on everything I say about every other week, but at the same time, like Bay Hill, not an architectural masterpiece. So the firmness and the setup doesn't bring out the best of it. Like,
totally agree.
Does it make it that much more interesting to watch other than it being like almost so bad it's good? Like, is it kind of funny to just watch balls?
I couldn't have said it better myself. I think there's a spot for that.
Yeah,
I truly do.
I mean, this golf course had maybe the most help of any golf course on the planet from one man. Like, Tiger Woods, like, made this tournament worth watching and made it exciting. And then, like, when Tiger got pulled away, I was kind of like, oh no, is this course a disaster? Like, I think it kind of is. And the rough keeps getting thicker, the greens keep getting firmer. And it's my least favorite kind of setup, though, is narrow fairways, thick rough, firm greens, where there's also thick rough around the greens. And when you get out of position, you just bang it onto the green and let it roll 2 feet over the green and chip back on. It's not the best test of skill yet at the same time. There's a lot of great memories. And I think the back nine on Sunday, usually this tournament is very an enjoyable time. Do I think the Thursday through Saturday route of getting there is anything like the most recent signature event we saw? No, I think it's opposite ends of the spectrum for me.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's where I'm coming from. Randy, you know, you and I were talking about this at spring training a little bit. It's all about expectations, I think. Right. And I would encourage everybody to set your expectations. If you want to watch 5 hours of golf on Thursday and then be all pissed off and be tweeting at people and ruining your day, that's on you, man. You go do that if you want to do that. But we all know how that's going to end. I'm choosing the positivity here, and I'm going to be excited for a Sunday afternoon of, hopefully a shootout or at least a survival test, Lord willing.
Survival. Yeah. I know. So you say, hey, everybody hits it on, it rolls over to, like, we're just asking some different questions this week. I'm not sure if they're the wrong questions to be asking. They're just different.
The 17th hole at Bay Hill might be that question that the professor puts on. And nobody solved it in, like, you know, it's been 9 semesters now. Nobody's ever solved that question. It's impossible. Awful golf hole. It's not good. Like, I don't even know what the best, quote unquote, snooty, pushing my glasses up my nose hole at Bay Hill would be. Like, none of them are great, but
two,
you know,
two is kind of sick.
Two's cool. Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, I mean, there's, you get it, hopefully the big names, and you get them kind of put through this like stress test. And I mean, I think we've all heard stories of guys, like, when they walk off the 72nd hole of this tournament and they get back in that locker room, like, they're fried after this week. And some of the talk around the Honda of guys like skipping because they're like, no, just like Bay Hill's like so hard, like, we're not going to play it, even though it's in our backyard, just because Bay Hill's so hard is like, ooh, okay. All right, I see you guys. I see what you're doing.
Well, yeah. I like that they're kind of forced to play it too, right? I mean, yeah, right, you have to. Exactly. They had to ease up on Honda to actually get people to play it. It's like Bay Hill's like, no, it's going to be hard, and you got to be here. Like, you essentially got to be here. It's $20 million. You cannot skip this one.
So, Solly, let me ask you a question, and DJ, you of course, but I'll pose it to Solly. What Bay Hill's standing, right? That it continues to be a host for a designated signature event. How would you place, if we were making like a pie chart or a pie graph, how much of that is based on Bay Hill's merit as a golf course? How much is based on Mr. Palmer? And how much is based on like Tiger Woods winning, what, 8 times here and being like one of his most successful courses?
I would put, I'd put 33% of it based on Arnold Palmer, 33% based on Tiger Woods, and the other 33% based on a combination of the two, and 0% on Bay Hill.
does it need to be? Is it like this point in the calendar? Does it have to be a signature event, or is it just purely like Palmer, Mr. Palmer thing, and Mr. Woods? Yeah.
What is a signature event now? Right? Well, I mean, I wanted these events. I feel so different than I did a year ago at this time leading up into these. They felt a little different. They had a different energy. They had a different excitement level. And it just seems like we're kind of all mailing it in. I mean, it's such a predictable week. I'm going to log in. I'm going to see the PGA Tour tweet the Arnold Palmer driver off the deck shot. Like, I've seen that 85 times, but like, that's like how you get hyped for it. Like, I'm at the point of saying, like, dude, LIV does a better job, like, in the lead up to their events of on social media of like making, like, drawing some interest for the tournament. Like, there's been just almost nothing so far to this point. I mean, I don't know, like, Phil, like, they do a lot with good
redemption.
They do like the Bryson mic'd up full round content, yeah, you know, that comes great. Out. Phil doing stuff on there. I don't know. There's just
Phil
at least like
Phil things.
Some buy. I don't know. There's a little bit. It just doesn't seem like the players are buying in or whatnot. You're not making this distinctive enough for fans to be able to like clearly like if you were to explain to another person that's not a huge golf fan, like what makes a signature event different than a regular one, what would your case be? If they play for more money, okay, cool. Like, we've proven that that doesn't really...
Well, the Aon Next 10 and the Aon Swing 5 are there. I mean, I think that's case closed, man. That's what people running down the streets were yelling at earlier. I had to close my windows.
Good comment here from Colty. We are getting a phone call from the tour down the street. That take was a little too hot. We'll edit it out of the podcast to make sure the checks come in, but...
I think the crux of your point is a good one of you can't, like... duct tape these changes together or kind of spit shine, you know, some procedural things and think that it's going to make a big difference in the eyes of fans. I think our guy Willie Z, and I'm not picking on him for this take, but he had a take late that I think we're going to get to later in the show about how, you know, his point, I quibble with the numbers, was that like there's 70 players in the field, 69, shout out to your guy Milton not playing. There's 69 guys in the field this week, and he was like, well, there's 70 guys here, and I bet casual fans could name 65 of them, and if you have 156, like, they're still going to only name those 65, which I get what you're saying, but what I would really like to drill down into is, like, sentiment. Nobody's naming those 65, man. There's maybe 5, maybe 10.
And we're going to try.
We're going to try, but I think that's the point is, like, just because you make it just, like, you got to do so much dramatic overhaul to really make this feel different. If you're just doing the same week over week over week, you know, kind of circus. And I don't know, we've talked like offline about this a little bit, and I what I keep coming back to is, like, you just, it's gonna be so uncomfortable to rip this band-aid off, but, like, dude, you just gotta admit that there's two different tours. And you
did he freeze for you, Randy?
Oh, yeah,
he froze.
Wow, Pontevedra came
in and they tracked him down in Milwaukee.
We have said too much. Yeah,
that's tough.
That is one of the hardest freezes I've ever seen. Yeah, I believe the point he was getting ready to make was, that there's two tours, right? There's this elevated tour and the rest of the tour. But a problem
within the
has
PGA
been
tour, not talking LIV PGA Tour, but PGA course. Tour separate categories here.
Of course, but also to say, like, we need, this is not a hot take, you need some of these stars to step the fuck up. Like, yeah. none of these dudes have done anything so far this year. And it's really hard to imagine, like, Scotty, no real close calls, Rory, no real close calls, Xander, Victor, whatever, Cantlay, Ludwig, Spieth, Morikawa, just kind of going down the odds sheet of, like, dudes that just haven't done anything so far this year. That can all change, right? If we get two guys, the whole point of these kind of trim fields is to try to increase the chances that a few of these guys are going to go head to head and give us a classic, you know, back nine Sunday. Like, that's the one thing we're holding out hope for this week. So,
well, I will just piggyback on that and say, you know, I totally hear the point DJ was making about the two tours, but where it loses a little bit of steam for me recently has been, Solly, just what you were saying, like the supposed stars that are on the PGA Tour aren't separating them, like they aren't doing anything. And so in my, I'm like, are there really two? If there are, shouldn't these guys be like lifting and separating and showing that they are a clear cut or two above like the rest of this mule pack? And I don't see it. And so it's not a great situation.
DJ Pye is reporting that he got kidnapped. I didn't hear his power went out. For those of you blaming AT&T, we are not putting the blame on AT&T for that one. But
he can dial in from her phone. He got the service that we use, StreamYard, is very good for our guests now. They have a new app, so any guest can dial in whenever they want.
Oh, sweet.
Showing improvements here.
That's good to know. This guy might win by 12 this week, though, if he's putting this into play. I've seen the images we saw on the putting green. He had a mallet putter. Scottie Scheffler finally trying the mallet after Rory put him on blast on live on an actual broadcast to say that he needed to try a putter, a different putter, or maybe try a mallet. And I don't know if he's putting it actually in play this week, but that just something to watch there, because this course obviously fits him. He's won here. It is going to be it's ball hitters only this week. From the reports we've heard, the rough is up as thick as ever, and the greens are wildly firm. Like, it is truly a ball strikers only kind of situation, which makes me think we are going to get a big winner this week.
Which is great. I think that's what we have all been waiting for, begging for, is Scotty, like, let's just try something different. The status quo has not been working. So kudos for him. We'll be keen to see if he's gaming that come tomorrow.
Odds sheet, Scottie Scheffler, the favorite, plus 700. Rory's at plus 900. Xander and Victor sharing at plus 1600. We have Cantlay and Ludvig at plus 1800. Ludvig gets a lot of respect in the odds, so if much. I may say. Spieth, Morikawa, plus 2200. Cam Young, Tommy Ladd, Sam Burns, plus 2500. Max Homa and JT plus 2,800. If I'm Sam Burns, actually, I'm a little bit upset about being plus 2,500 with Cam Young and Tommy, who have not won on the PGA Tour. And Sam Burns has won a lot, right? I know you're thinking that, Randy. I just wanted to get that in there
for
you.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Homa and JT plus 2,800. Fitz, J-Day, and Zalatoris plus 3,000. Ben On and Minwoo Lee plus 4,000. A lot of people upset at us that nobody drafted Minwoo Lee in our draft on our recap pod this past Sunday, projecting out for the next 6 years. Hideki plus 4,500. Jake Knapp, Harris English, Corey Connors, Adam Scott plus 5,000. You taking that group as a whole, Randy, or the field? I think that's probably an easy question.
I will take that group, I think. I was just getting ready to say, too, is it I admittedly don't know Hideki's course or tournament history here off the top of my head, but him being plus 4,500 is a little surprising, just because the last time all of us saw him, he was hitting the shit out of the ball at the Genesis.
His last 5 years, Randy, T33, T56, T18, T20, and cut. He performs below his expectation of what you would expect him from a strokes gained perspective. That is, of course, courtesy of our friends at Data Golf that have outstanding course history tools, among many other options available for you there. So
there we go.
69-man field. Why are we doing what? Nick Dunlap's playing by himself for the first 2 days. Like, are we couldn't have gotten one more guy in there. I don't think that would have hurt things. I get it. Maybe do another sponsors exemption. Give us an even number of players in this field. There's got to be.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Sully. It seems completely ridiculous, but I'll say this. I want to ask you a question. Do you think the 70 number has worked so far this year? Like, are you still dead set on that these limited field events, no cuts? I understand this one has a cut, just like Tiger's does, just like Jack's is going to. But are you still dead set on this? Because 70 feels like too little still. I think it needs to be 90, 100, something like that. It still feels way too small.
Twosomes, whatever you can do, twosomes off the first tee. Right, to start, or everybody tee off the first tee. I don't know if it's twosomes. It is twosomes, the first couple of days. Off the first tee, that helps so much for Thursday, Friday. It really does, between, everyone on the field's got to start on one of the other sides throughout it. That really did add to Genesis, I thought. And the way Genesis flowed, I thought, was great. I mean, they had more than 70 guys in it, but a cut of, whatever it is, top 50 plus anyone within 10 shots. I forget exactly what it is. That's exactly how I think these things should be. I was not a fan of no cut. I mean, if you're playing horrible, like truly way, way off the pace, and you're not in the top 50 out of 70 guys going into the weekend, like, send them packing. That's totally fine. I don't think there's anybody missing from this field. I still don't. Other than Taylor Gooch, like, I just don't think, the next name on the list is that important.
Tony, I don't know why. He just, doesn't want to go to Orlando or something.
It's too tough. The golf course is too tough.
Is Tony, hey guys, I just wanted to clarify something I was saying on the way out, which is that the system's fine. I don't know why anybody's complaining about it. No, sorry. We had an electrician showed up a month early. He's like, I marked the wrong. He's like, we're supposed to get worked on like a month later. I was like, all right, you're not going to like cut the power, right? He's like, no, definitely not. I was like, okay, well, so here we are. apologies for the inconvenience.
No, Solly, I was getting ready to ask you a question on behalf of the audience because, of course, I know the answer to this. But why are there only 69 players this week? Have they exhausted all of the lists and the qualifications? How have we gotten to 69?
I don't have the answer off the top of my head, and if I could get it for you, it would spoil a game we're going to play a little later, probably, of where I would look inside the field. But how it essentially how it works is, if you're a part of the Aeon Swing 5, yet if you've won, you're already exempt into this, I believe. And if that also puts you way up the list on the Aeon Swing 5. So if you're double qualified, that it doesn't go to the next guy, which I think many people would probably exist. It probably should. I don't see why it wouldn't. Again, if we're this few of players in the field, I think you can probably extend that. Again, I think there should be a really strong incentive for, like, the exchange of value here for the mules, if you will, is like that, you know, if you're going to sign off on this new system, that there's going to be opportunity to play into it, and you're not going to go wrong. It's not like, it doesn't really serve the fans, but if you want to get this, get everyone kind of behind this plan, throwing some bones to the mules, is going to help in that regard. So I don't see why you wouldn't slide down the Aeon 5 to get more guys into it. Even if fans aren't going to notice and it's not essential to your viewing, like,
right,
part of still how this tour is run is, you know, needing approval from a lot of guys. That's my take on it. So, do you guys want to play a little bit of Bay Hill trivia before we get to some news around the golf world?
I do.
I love it. Yeah. Let's do it.
Before we do that, this episode is brought to you by season 2 of Netflix's hit series, Full Swing. 2023 was yet again a year unlike any other in the world of professional golf, and the Full Swing cameras were there to capture it all. From a controversial and divisive agreement between the PGA Tour and the PIF to the selection of the Ryder Cup team's face-off between U.S. and Europe at Marco Simone, Full Swing takes you inside the locker rooms, meeting rooms, and family rooms where it happened. We've seen the results on the course. But Full Swing takes you behind the scenes to experience
literally inside toughness. The meeting rooms. There was that very scene actually inside one of the meeting rooms. It was crazy to see.
Yeah. Experience the physical toughness, mental resilience, and technical prowess it takes for Ricky Fowler to return to the winner's circle or for Wyndham Clark to take down his first major. Also takes a look at the life of a pro when the pieces aren't coming together, whether it's Joel Damon's struggle with newfound fame or Justin Thomas missing his first FedEx Cup playoff since 2014 and fighting for that last Ryder Cup captain's pick. Relive the 2023 season of professional golf with inside access you won't find anywhere else. Full Swing, now playing only on Netflix. We also have a podcast that went up overnight last night, reviewing each episode and our thoughts on the season as a whole. It's there for whenever you have watched it all. There are some spoilers, of course, you know, within it. So I suggest it's there whenever you want it. Stop getting mad at us for posting it early.
It's evergreen content.
That's exactly right. Some people like to listen to, you know, they like to read the movie reviews before they see them. Helps them watch the movie.
Listen, defense to those people. I just think we're asking a lot for people when a series drops at 3 a.m., and the podcast drops at 4 a.m. to get all those episodes in on time. But it's there. Listen, we're just putting it available. You can click on it when you want. That's why we make custom pod art and everything now. Clearly saying, don't listen to this yet.
I'm sure people would have been totally, you know, totally chill if we would have just not put it up for 2 weeks to give everybody a bunch of time.
Yeah, yeah. Where's your review? Where's your review? All right. There's no point system or anything here. We're going to get through these probably relatively quick here. But first game, just like we played for AT&T, past champ or no at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, okay? Phil Alfred Mickelson.
No.
He is a past champ. He won in 1997. David Frost.
Frosty. Yes.
Frosty, I'm going to say no.
He is not a past champion. DJ 0-2.
Come on, give me
For the record, Cody and Randy, for those listening on the pod, Cody and Randy got the first one right. They're doing the physical mannerisms here. We're audio Tom Kite, did he ever win the Bay Hill Invitation?
Has to.
Oh, yeah.
That was such a reach in your back pocket. For sure.
Yeah.
Twice he did.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Payne Stewart.
Yes.
No.
All right, now I'm gaming the test. We went yes, no, yes. Are we back to no? I'm gonna say yes. I'm gonna
he
break.
He did.
One yeah.
87. Raymond Floyd. Did he ever win the Bay Hill Invitational?
Right. Now we're going back to no. No, we can't not. Have three straight.
Yes.
He did not. Damn that it. Is correct.
You're so in his head, Randy.
I know. I'm 5-5.
Did Gary Koch ever win?
No.
No.
He won. Yeah, I'm gonna say yes.
He did. He won it twice, guys.
Really?
Come on.
Coke rules. We still need more justice for Coke. Yeah, massive Cokehead.
Jack Nicklaus.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. I'm going to say.
Surely he would have won at one point.
No.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say the time didn't work out.
No.
He did not win. Just did Arnold Palmer ever win the Bay Hill Invitational?
Yes.
That I'm going to say no.
He did.
I'm going to
say. He did.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Tom Watson.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No, he did not.
Randy.
Lee Trevino.
Yes.
Yes, early.
Sure, yes.
He did. Charles Mitchell.
Who?
Who? No.
It's a made-up name.
Yeah, no.
That's correct.
Is this a Mitchell name. Report guy?
Yeah, no, you fooled me once on that one.
Yes.
All right, we have 9 trivia questions. Who designed Bay Hill? Starting easy and getting harder.
Deej?
Arnold Palmer and Ed C.
I don't know. I literally have no idea. George Fazio.
Yeah, I think he just touched up some rooms.
You got an answer, Cody?
No, I have no clue.
Okay. It's Dick Wilson. For like
I was going to say that. God.
For like 25 years, I assumed Arnold designed it. I was hoping one of you would fall into that trap as well. So... what famous player won this event in the 80s and also lived on the 12th hole?
Peter Jacobson.
It's a really good guess, but it's not accurate.
Matt Every.
Who else? In the 80s.
In the 80s.
Sounds like, is this a zinger thing?
Nope.
Ooh, that's a good guess, though.
Where'd Payne Stewart live?
Isleworth, I think, unless it was him.
I'll say Payne Stewart.
Payne Stewart is correct.
Hey, really?
Yeah, you're flying, man.
You are killing it today. In 2003, Tiger Woods became lucky enough to be the first player since Gene Sarazen in the 30s to win the same tournament 4 years in a row. How many shots did he win by to win the fourth in a row?
Six.
Yeah, that's my guess, six.
I'm going to go 7 just to take the over.
He started the final round 5 shots clear and was sick and throwing up in that final round and eked out an 11-shot victory to win for the fourth time in a row.
Wow. All right.
Needed
a little dose of that at Riviera.
These next two are really hard. I'm just going to say that. But in 2008, Tiger Woods made a 25-foot putt on 18 to win by 1. He famously spiked his hat onto the green. It was his 5th win in a row on the PGA Tour. Who did he beat by 1 shot?
Steve Marino.
Too
famous.
Love
that guess.
Too famous?
Too famous.
Tim Clark.
Too famous.
Way too famous.
Oh. Is it a VJ year?
Bart Bryant.
Oh, gosh.
I did not
revenge,
know that.
Revenge for the Tour Championship.
I threw a couple of these in here only because I was like, DJ used to work there. He'd been to this event a bunch. I'm sure he knows some of this obscure trivia, but this doesn't get any easier.
Cash on a lot of this information.
What year? Tell the folks, DJ, when did you guys get married in Orlando?
One of the all-time. One of your best dates ever.
One of the best things about... Not married in Orlando. One of the best things about being... Rest in peace to the Kill House, but... one of the coolest pictures that's in there is Deej, the picture that you took one morning walking around.
I did not take. I did not take. No, Michael Wolf, a guy, lovely guy who works for the PGA Tour, took an awesome, awesome photo of Arnold Palmer walking around Bay Hill that was not really allowed to be published anywhere. But it's so I don't want to blow up his spot, but it's very, very cool. If you ever see me in a bar, I'll pull it up for you.
In 2009, Tiger made another 25-footer, this time in the dark, to win by 1 shot again at Bay Hill. Who was the runner-up that year?
Was that Phil?
I always thought it was, and it's not.
The comments here going like...
You're not going to get
not that. Phil.
Steve Stricker.
A couple O'Hare Norman.
Oh, Sean O'Hare.
That's a good one.
Sean O'Hare really? Is the right Carlos, answer. Good job. Carlos in the comments absolutely nailed it. I got it. You guys will get this one. So whoever answers this fastest wins. Who's the most recent player to win back-to-back Arnold Palmer Invitationals?
Yeah. Patton. Every.
Matt Every. Hatton.
Hatton didn't win back-to-back?
No, he's only won one PGA Tour event.
Contended. All right.
Him and Fran look so familiar, though.
For sure. Definitely.
Three more to go. In 1998, John Daly hit how many balls in the water on six, and what did he make on the hole?
I think he made a
16?
Yeah, I was going to say 15. So what would that be like?
I'll say he hit five balls in the water.
Say six balls, and he made a 15.
I'll say five and 16.
Cody?
I think it was higher than that. I want to say 18, but I don't know how many balls that would be. I'll go 5 and 18.
6 and 18 is the answer.
Oh.
Gosh, Cody, I see some of you guys, your strategy here is kind of waiting for the comments to start.
Of course.
I need to hide the comments here.
Where are the comments?
I don't even read the comments.
You guys have no shot on this one, but... this event had another name from 1966 to 1978. What was it? Or where was it played? Either one of those will count as a correct answer.
You know what? We've got a podcast coming out about the 50th anniversary of the Players' Championship, and Wolfie mentioned this, and I can't freaking remember what it's called.
No, I remember what this... I can't remember where it's at, but it used to be like the Orange Invitational or something like that.
It was played at the Crooked Cat. Idea.
It's interesting, though, now, Deej. That's two Michael Wolf references. Yeah. Different people.
Really? How about that? Guys cool. everywhere.
It is the Florida Citrus Open Invitational. So I still don't know what an Open Invitational is, but
sounds like the NIT.
That was played at Rio Pinar Country Club, and Gary Koch is the only one to have won it there and at Bay Hill. So that is
probably never be broken.
Easiest one of them all. We'll finish on a layup here. How many times has Tiger won at Bay Hill?
8.
Yep.
8.
Wrong. 9 what? Times Tiger won the U.S. Junior
on top of
winning the Bay Hill Invitational.
Come on.
No, thank you.
I don't know if people like the trivia or not. But,
I love it. I love it. I'm weirdly bad at it. I would have thought I would have been better at some of these.
All right. Do you guys have a pick for this week? I feel like that's kind of got to be a part of our happy hour previews. You have to lock in one pick to win.
You're taking Cantlay. I'm going to take Scotty.
Good picks. I'm going with Mr. Rory McIlroy. I think this is when he turns it around here. And runner up last year.
William Zalatoris is going to win this week.
Love that.
Ball hitters only. That is my pick. We wrapped up our Sunday pod a little. We did it on Sunday night and did not get a chance to give a shout out to Austin Eckroat for winning the Cognizant Classic. He's making a fast rise up the rankings, I guess you will, in the golf world on the PGA Tour. I want to give a shout out to him. Liv is giving up, withdrawing their application for OWGR status. Back when I was single, I could make this joke, but you can't anymore. I've withdrawn my status on asking out insert hot actress out here as well. Here,
anyway, you can't fire me. I quit.
After getting rejected already, they've
seeing status. Bryson's appearance on the Fairway to Heaven podcast, we withdrawn our application. See how stupid this is making us look, and we're good actually.
You know, I do the one thing that jumped into my mind because one of our good friends on the LPGA side, Grant Boone, we were just talking about this last week together, is that the Olympics use OWGR as their baseline. And I think further on down the line, that is going to have some big implications as Liv withdraws their bid for this over them getting into majors and everything else.
That's a good point. I had not thought about that.
I mean, is something going to get resolved here or not? This could be all over within the month anyways, you know? So,
well, obviously, Sully, my follow-up to that would be, if this is going to be all over, then, like, why did they have Wiersze saying yesterday or 2 days ago that, like, Liv players are not playing in the President's Cup that's going to take place later this fall?
They're not going to be bringing Liv guys back into the PGA Tour this year. Anyway, if it gets resolved or not, it's not going to be this year. It would be my expectation, right? So that would change nothing for this fall.
Okay. It just sounded like it would be an easy time to be like, yeah, we're trying to figure some stuff out here and continue to work towards this overall resolution that things are supposed to be continuing on. It just doesn't sound any of that like at all.
We haven't heard any of that from anyone. And boy, I haven't heard from Jay in forever. I mean, next week's presser is going to be, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be, it's, I don't think we're going to get a lot of answers there either, but it will be interesting either way. Joaquin Niemann also given a special exemption into the PGA.
I'm sorry. Can you imagine any other sport that has seen X amount of its top players drawn to a different league altogether, and Rob Manfred would not be available to the media. Adam Silver would not be, like, Roger Goodell. I cannot fathom in what world Jay Monahan's silence makes any sense whatsoever. It is such a,
I can't,
whether it is or not,
I can't,
it's the appearance of an of just an absolute abdication of leadership, and it's really gross.
Well, it's no longer a reflection just of him; it's of the entire organization.
Right.
Totally.
Exactly.
I was gonna say, can I counter that, Randy, to say maybe the last time they asked him to do it, he said this takes a competitor off the board, immediately raising some antitrust concerns, and how poorly June 6th went, to say, like, yeah, maybe we're better off not saying anything right now.
I'm with you big on, like, it can't be overstated how, when we look back at all this stuff,
these aren't serious people
15 years from now, like, how much of a bullet sponge they've turned Rory into. And all, and honestly, I mean, we talked about Full Swing a little bit earlier, and we did a whole podcast about it, not spoiling anything, but, like, you can see that all over Rory throughout the entire season, of just, like, what it looks like and feels like to just constantly be the guy that everybody's asking for an opinion on all of this stuff, instead of the guy who gets paid to answer the questions.
Well, it's kind of like the sports washing question on the Liv side. Like, if there was a good answer for this stuff, we would have heard it by now, but there's not one, right? So, you know, if what's he going to say? Like, yeah, here's the state of our negotiations with PIF. Like, we're stonewalling on this so we can win this part of the battle. Like, no, that's not what's going to happen. And I don't know. I don't know what the update would be at this point, other than, like, when you were asking for him to speak last year, when he went, or 2 years ago now at this point, at the Canadian Open, and he went on TV and used the 9/11 families, like, that didn't go very well either. It just becomes this thing of, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is going to be here to answer any of these questions.
They want to fashion themselves to be a multi-billion dollar organization. Right. And you're telling me that you had 2 years ago, since that example that you just brought up, that they haven't hired some fucking PR firm or had their chief communications officer or somebody out there fucking on the stump whipping whatever votes they possibly can? Because what's going on right now, and I understand, and I feel for Rory, I feel for Spieth, I feel for all of those guys, but, like, now it's just it's the tour as a whole. It just stinks, and silence is making it worse off.
Dude, a not small part of me, just, like, along those lines, like, the tour stinks is kind of, I think about, maybe it just needs to shrink back down. Like, Tiger blew this whole thing up and made it way bigger than it ever was and maybe ever needed to be, and Tiger's not coming back. Maybe it should shrink back down. Like, maybe maybe we can't pretend that it's going to just continue to go up and up and up forever. We had a once in a, not even a once in a generation talent, a once in a history of the sport talent kind of buoy things and blow it all out of proportion. They were not ready for that growth. They did not evolve in any way. They still this, like, small little kind of almost podunk little tour, of just these individual host organizations kind of all merged together under one big thing with no real cohesive plan for how you actually come up with a schedule, how you actually set up the structure of the league. None of that changed, other than, like, creating this FedEx Cup thing that nobody has cared about for almost two decades now. So maybe it does either need to totally blow up and rebuild, or just needs to shrink back down. That's kind of where I'm at.
I thought Jeff Shackelford, friend of the program, had a really good piece in Lynx Magazine, I believe it was. I sent out a link to it on X the website formerly known as Twitter. And I think the headline was basically something like why we don't need pro golfers. And that sounds like inflammatory, but he touched on a lot of this stuff. And it basically was like, look at the history of pro golf. It always swells and contracts and ebbs and flows. And Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, and now it's Tiger Woods. And like, it's really interesting the way he framed it. And again, I would encourage everybody to go read it, is like, it's not one line of like how golf is going. There's always been two different lines where there is like how the pro game is going and there's how the recreational game is going. And for right now, it just feels like the pro game, I don't know if I can get the angles right, the pro game is like just going down and the recreational game is going up. And the more that, what really resonated with me was the that he said was like, the more these players conflate and confuse the idea that they are the game or they are bigger than the game, the stupider they look. Because go try to get a tee time right now and go ask if anybody cares about the Aeon Swing 5, right? And like, I don't know how to put it any clearer than that. And so that's where I'm with you, is like, maybe the whole thing just needs to get right-sized. But in order for that to happen, like somebody with a checkbook has to stop telling these guys that they're worth $600 million. Yo. And it's hard when those checks are clearing. So I don't know where we go from here, but it's to
piggyback on that. I think what I'm most fascinated about is like right now we're in this little OWGR squabble and, you know, can Liv get OWGR points and how are we going to, but it's like, guys, we've been doing this podcast for 10 years. And for the first, like, I don't know, 5 years before the idea of Liv even became a thing, like the common thing that we would talk about when Tiger wasn't involved in winning majors was like pro golf, like it's not that great. And so my thing is, even if they brought everybody together, like it wasn't on that great of a trajectory before this split. And I just don't, who's going to drive a unified game forward with, you know, a better entertainment product? There's such a lack of any ideas and leadership, and it's not great.
Well, and you have companies throwing around like multi-billion-dollar investments, like this SSG can't be comfortable with Jay and the leadership on how they're acting. And the scary thing about it, Deej, is like what you brought up of like boiling it all down, like they're looking at returns. So I don't think they're going to try to take cash that's been strapped to the tour via Aeon or whatever, name any other company that's investing in it. What I'd say is hopefully they turn to like the tour headquarters and the hundreds of people that are there that aren't doing anything that we're talking about right now and get rid
of
that.
So I think it's important to note though, Cody, I think we need to like picture let's just call it like the golf company, right? Like I think SSG PGA Tour Enterprises is like a golf company. And then there is the PGA Tour where all of these problems are going to exist. Like, I don't think SSG is predicting and projecting huge growth within the PGA Tour 501c6. I think they see opportunities to use capital to buy up other properties within golf, capitalize on, you know, all these tee time apps that make a ton of money, capitalize on the growth of golf at golf courses, buy up resorts, buy up the Ryder Cup, buy up PGA of America. I don't know exactly what, that's not my area of expertise, but I would be absolutely stunned if they looked at this product and they were like, we can squeeze so much more out of this thing that is way overpriced already and no one really is watching. I don't think that's where they think they're going to get a return on their money.
Yeah, I think it's almost more like optimizing what that is and using that as the vehicle to go acquire all this other stuff, right? Because it still is like the biggest gorilla in the room. It doesn't necessarily mean like the gorilla needs to get that much bigger. It just means that that's like your way in on all these other things, which again is like super uplifting, like really like heartwarming stuff as well. Of just we're going to kind of, you know, just optimize the business of the game. That I think is going to make, you know, the Bay Hill Invitational, what was it, the Citrus Open Invitational, it's going to make that just like so much more interesting, I'm sure.
But, and this is an anecdotal note I have, and it's a case of one here, but I want to point out like the lasting impact of this, I'm just going to call it strike season. Like we're going to be in like a 4 or 5 year period where pro golf is really shitty. We're 2 years into it. It's probably going to last like another three. Like if this would have happened when I was, you know, you know, a younger person. Like, I, part of the reason I'm a huge golf fan, a huge part of the reason why this is like my career now, a huge part of the reason why I play so much golf and like have a passion for it, is there was a PGA Tour event 5 minutes from my house growing up. And it was like the best week of the year to go out there and follow somebody, follow Justin Leonard around. I was a huge Justin Leonard fan. I don't really know why, but, like that was like Tiger Woods came and like, dude, I battled those crowds when I was a kid. And like, that made me a huge golf fan, right? There was an energy around it. It was awesome. And that has a lasting impact on my life. Like we're seeing like this like earthquake is happening right now. And like the downstream impacts of all of that is not felt yet. If you're talking about this link between the pro game and the, like, there is a trickle down effect of the pro game. When you watch it on television, you're going to, you know, be more incentivized. I can watch an hour of golf on TV and I want to go play. Like that's the connection that we have with the pro game, and like the damage being done to it, I think can damage the game of golf as a whole. Just, we don't know how yet, but I think that is going to exist. Anyways,
I think that's extremely well said. Totally agree.
Yep.
I will say, sorry, I just because Cody and I spend a lot of time talking about the women's game. The women's game, at least the LPGA Tour, is off to a fantastic start. So if anybody's kind of disillusioned, I know it's not the easiest to watch on television, but they're starting a primetime event over in China tonight. It's been like major winners only so far in the LPGA.
What about China?
I just want to say the women's side is off to a great start, and that's cool at least. All right, back to you, Solly.
Couple other notes I had. Paul Azinger let it fly in an interview with Adam Shupak. We don't need to do all of it. A lot of people a little overreacted to this. I mean, he said he made the point that like the best players are not playing the PGA Tour. The best players aren't all playing the PGA Tour anymore, which I think was like, oh, well, can't wait to see what they're going to say about this. Like, yeah, I think we've been saying that. And I mean, the big takeaway, I mean, you know, he goes into details about his negotiation and how basically NBC pretty much sounds like they did him pretty dirty of saying, you know, they tried to counter offer when they made him an offer and they just said, well, they pulled the plug on it almost immediately. There was no negotiation. The kind of big takeaway from at the end was just said, well, there was no plan going forward except to make the broadcast less expensive. I think they're going to settle on whatever is less expensive. Everything since I got there was just budget cut after budget cut. Everything was to make the broadcast cost less money. We went from having towers to all in the same booth. We eliminated a couple drones. Occasionally, you lose the airplane or the blimp, and then you lose the speed shots. That one big camera that covers the ball, you know, from tee as it flies over the water, you know they're going to pour all their money into the players.
Fuck yeah. So yeah,
just good job by everyone involved.
I pull my charts back out again and show the directions these two lines are going, because that seems like it's just getting better for all the right people.
Comcast, NBC continuing just to hold so much of golf hostage with the rights.
It's so cool.
It's also so like cool. If I may, don't have a ton of dealing with Zinger, have met him a couple times. He's the best. And I reading this, my big takeaway was like, man, it sounds like they just treated him like shit. Yeah. And that's the part that's like, you could say whatever you want about like his analysis, maybe didn't like him, whatever, but like the way that it was handled sounds awful. And if any of that is like 10% true, then like, I don't know, that even that is like, you thought the broadcast was shitty. Like that's another like just kind of sprinkling of, you know, just badness to add to the whole situation. Can't be treating Zinger like that. He's a good dude. It seems like he really treats people the right way.
I'm glad you said that, because we met, God, where did we run into him? Was that in Branson?
Yeah,
we randomly, great dude in person. I'm not sure, he was never really my cup of tea, never did anything in the broadcast booth for me. But I echo what you say.
And at a certain point, like I love Zinger. I was not a huge fan of his commentary on NBC, but at a certain point, I don't know what the balance is. And I don't know where to place the blame, but it sounds like a pretty tough environment to work in. It does. Yeah. It sounds like a tough environment to succeed in. And he had a couple other quotes in there about things that he said on there that they didn't like. And he never seemed sure of himself at NBC. Like, I always loved his commentary on Fox, and you know, it is different doing it 1 week a year versus every week. And I get that. And
I think juxtaposed some of that with, you know, I think we've all had dealings on the CBS side with running into over the past couple of years to Trevor and to Colt and to Amanda and to all of those people who are just like, man, things are like really awesome on our side. And it really comes through on the telecast. And it just, yeah, it seems like the whole thing is like a very systemic issue.
Yeah. All right. We our goal is to keep these under an hour. So, and we have a final game that we need to play. We're going to play the Willie Z game. We're going to do it Stump the Schwab style. Oh, God, that probably is really
going to be so bad.
Really dating me. But Stump the Schwab game used to go around in a circle kind of for certain categories, like name all FedEx Cup winners. And as soon as you name one that's wrong, you're out. So Cody's the only one that has the field list. I'm going to keep my hands up here. No clicking around or anything like that. And we're going to all go around in a circle and name players until we name somebody that's not in the field or cannot name any more players.
All right, who wants to start?
I'll start.
All right, big.
Kurt Kitayama.
Correct.
Well done.
Scotty Scheffler.
Correct.
Rory McIlroy.
Correct.
Also, if you repeat a name, you're out.
You're out.
Yeah. Tough. God, I panicked right there. Justin Thomas.
Barely. Victor Hovland.
Jordan Spliff.
Yes.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Okay.
Max Homa.
Yep.
Patrick Cantlay.
Yep.
Jake Knapp.
Very good.
That was Biggs dipping into his reserves. Xander Schauffele.
Yes.
Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Nick Taylor.
Yes.
Thomas Kim.
Yes.
Ludwig Oberg.
Yes.
Oh, God. just like name a golfer. Austin Eckroat.
Okay.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh, very good.
Dang it. Adam Scott.
Yes.
All the panic set in.
I don't know. I'm out. Did we say Max Homa?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Yeah.
Sucks big. Big's out. DJ and Solly remain.
I haven't been listening close enough. I said last time. No, I know. Mathieu Pavon.
Very good.
Let him cook, Minwoo Lee.
Yeah.
Grayson Murray.
Very good.
Sam Burns.
Yes.
Chris Kirk.
Yeah, he won the first one. Webb Simpson.
Yes.
Scummy.
Brian Harmon.
Scummy.
Yes.
Jason Day.
Yes.
From the Aeon Swing 5, Justin Lauer.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
I've not been paying enough attention to what's
going on. Former young hitter, always a young hitter.
Harris English.
H-E.
TC's guy, Sammy Valamaki.
True.
Anybody say Hideki yet?
No. Still open.
Okay.
Very good.
No, you said it?
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, Deej is out.
Yeah.
Deej, you got it, buddy.
I had hundreds more.
I had more. I had 69 more.
Did anybody say Fitz?
I said Fitz.
You did?
Okay, well, good. I wouldn't have said that.
I was saving Ben on.
Board, our Walker Cup guy, Big, got an exemption this week.
Do you guys think that Adam Svensson is playing in the API or the Puerto Rico Invitational?
Puerto Rico.
Adam Svensson is, I think, playing in the API.
API.
I think he was one of the last like top 50 guys.
Very good. Patrick Rogers, Puerto Rico, API.
PR. He's got to be PR.
API.
API. I mean, it's the only field I have in front of me. So.
that is why I'm saying we don't need 10 more guys in the field right now.
True.
For no disrespect, of course, to anyone, but that is probably why. All right, last thing. Who's going to finish dead last? Who's your pick to finish just absolutely dead last this week?
Is Gomez in the field?
What's that?
Unfortunately,
is Robert Gomez in the field?
I think they had to change up how they did that now with...
God, such a good question. I am looking.
It might be the only question that matters.
Isn't Hoagie playing really bad right now?
That could work.
I feel like that's up there. I'm going to say, I know he's playing pretty good golf, but I'm going to say Nikolai Højgaard. Feels like the worst possible setup.
I'm going to go to our Walker Cup guy.
David Ford.
Yeah. Like, if it's as hard as it's being advertised, like, no shade at him, but it's going to be a tough week.
Yeah. Admittedly, I didn't think of that.
I'm going to say Nick Dunlap. The only way this game's funny is if our DFL pick ends up winning.
Right. Which I feel like I'm really threading the line there with Højgaard. Yeah.
All right, that is going to be a wrap for Happy Hour Show. Thank you to High Noon. Thank you to Roback. Thank you to Netflix. Thank you to Cody, to Randy, to DJ, everyone that watched live. These are always really fun to do. We're going to have a bunch of live shows next week for the players, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a Happy Hour Show Wednesday, and a preview podcast. And we'll be live on Sunday night. Golf season is about to get very, very, very busy for all of us. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in and for your support. We'll see you back here on Sunday night. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.